Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Think you know all you need to know about the conflict in the Middle East? Well, you better think again. Let's go in depth with Chad Ray, professor of philosophy and religion at Central College, and Pastor Ryan Faber, Faith Church, both also with the Center for Public Justice. So you guys are with the Center for Public Justice.
That is an organization out of Washington with which people can associate themselves by buying a membership. Mm-hmm. And then we've gathered people in the area who are members of that group to form a local network. So we're really the Central Iowa Network, affiliated with the Center for Public Justice.
The Center for Public Justice originated in the 1960s when a couple of professors, were they both at Doors?
Or? I think so.
Okay. Thought that a reflection on politics from a Christian perspective at Dort College, that probably meant Reformed. Well, it did mean Reformed. It still does. They thought that reflection on politics from a Christian perspective was worthy to be made a subject of public education. And so they sought to build up an organization whose mission would be to educate in politics from a nonpartisan point of view, no party affiliation. Our little group is mixed in that regard. And at one point, a very few years ago, the emeritus president at Dort College, a man named John Holst, came to Pella with his wife, and he gathered around himself some people who were interested in the work of the Center for Public Justice. That includes Ryan and me. And this John Holst became the center of a little group of a handful of people who gathered and read and discussed the commentaries that are published by the CPJ. And eventually we took it on ourselves to try to promote public discussion in our community of issues and help people become aware of what Christian faith might have to say about our engagement with politics.
Well, that is an interesting thing to do, but it seems like what I see and hear in the media is it's not a lot of it is exactly thoughtful. It's just in your face. It's just all partisan one way or another, that truth and reality don't matter, that ideology trumpets all. And so you're wading into this with a different perspective.
That's
you
right.
have a different goal.
Yeah, that's right. We cringe with most of what gets printed from people who purport to have a Christian point of view embarrasses me.
Yeah, I think that one of our goals is the CPJ is nonpartisan, and we try to bring a distinctively Christian perspective. And a couple of years ago, we've done a number of events. One year we focused on immigration and had a book club and some discussions on different denominational positions. Then a couple summers ago, we did a summer book club, reading chapters in the book Left, Right, and Christ. And it was interesting because sometimes the chapters were topical, and sometimes the center would probably line up with the left and sometimes with the right. And it seems like a false distinction
Christ.
To say there's left and right. And Christ isn't the middle. Sometimes he's one way and probably sometimes he's the other. And the group had some pretty strong Republicans and Democrats who we want to model healthy dialogue and civil discussion. A couple years ago, we did a book club with Richard Mao, president of Fuller, or previous president of Fuller Seminary, his book Uncommon Decency, and hosted him, trying to model civil discussion. And so I think that's one of the goals for this four-part public dialogue that we're hosting this fall.
And it's a big dialogue. I mean, you couldn't have bitten off much of a bigger topic, could have you? I mean, a four-part public dialogue on the struggle for a just peace in Israel. How big is that?
And it's huge now with what's going on the ground, which we didn't anticipate when we began planning the discussion, but
back
we think it will generate a lot of interest. A lot of people, I think, are intrigued by Israel and probably ignorant about some of the history and the story, and probably mostly the Palestinian perspective is a part that we don't hear. And so in the dialogue, part of our hope is to educate people. And I don't know if we're going to have answers on what makes for peace, but maybe we'll end up a little more confused and complicated, that it's a difficult question. There were people living in the land when the Israelis came, and they're still living there. And how do we find a peace that is just for both the Palestinians and the Israelis?
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about the conflict in the Middle East with Professor Chad Ray and Pastor Ryan Faber. So you're going to talk about that long history, you're going to lay it out, you're going to lay out the perspectives of both sides then?
As best we can in several evenings. We have guest speakers, we are going to use brief video clips that, like on the first evening, video clips are going to rub our noses in the reality of two peoples and two cultures in one land. Many of us are very uncomfortable, I think, in this country with the idea, as Ryan was saying, that there are two peoples, not just one, and one of those peoples has considerable power over the other, and seeing that relationship as just is not easy. It seems not to be an altogether healthy situation.
Well, and this goes beyond, I know this is a really big topic in and of itself, but it speaks to essentially all the crises around the world where some people have power and control, and there's a whole lot of disenfranchised people,
yeah,
with a lot of them without voices.
Something unique about this case is the assumption on the part of many people that one of these peoples has a divine right to the land that the other lacks. Many Americans have heard, as it's stated in Genesis, that if you curse anybody who curses the descendants of Abraham will be cursed, and those who bless those descendants will be blessed. Many people are fearful of acknowledging that the descendants of Abraham can do any wrong. They imagine that to criticize, to challenge, to rebuke is to curse. I criticize my children. I don't curse them. There's a big difference between the way friends treat each other, the way parents treat their children, and the way that cursing proceeds. We've seen plenty of anti-Semitism in our lifetimes. That's not what we're about. We're about seeking peace for Israelis and for Palestinians. We're pro-Israeli and we're pro-Palestinian. We think justice would be the goal.
Mm-hmm. And how does this play out in your congregation, Pastor?
People in our congregation that have been part of the local network with the Center for Public Justice, but I don't know that there's a broad interest in the topic. I hope there is, and I hope that people become more aware. I think the third session, we'll look at the first session will be kind of the current realities. The second session with a special guest, Jim Safiro from Central College, we'll look at the history and how we got to where we are. And then the third, myself and Terry Clavin, a professor from Central College, will look at some of the theology of Christian Zionism. And what makes this situation unique in sort of world politics is that religious piece. And I think we'll explore some of the reasons people believe the Christian perspective is almost default pro-Israel and probably critique it. And I would suspect that that critique would challenge even members within my own church in terms of the ways in which we've been raised and socialized that Chad had mentioned.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about the conflict in the Middle East with Professor Chad Ray and Pastor Ryan Faber.
Well, one of the things that's also working against understanding and appreciating, even wanting to learn the Palestinian perspective and many perspectives around the world is terrorism. I mean, when you've got people blowing up people, and we've heard these horrific stories, not in Palestine, but of beheadings and violence and children being blown up and bombs. I mean, you've got the terrorists. And so it makes it such that it doesn't help their cause any, at least from our perspective, does it?
No, it doesn't. It is Palestinians in Gaza who support Hamas, the political party that has historically refused to recognize Israel's right to exist. Palestinians in Gaza who engage in violence under the aegis of the Hamas party are not doing their cause a favor. I would say that the Israeli government does not help when it treats Palestinians on the West Bank less than fairly. It makes it easy for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip to say, the Israelis aren't interested in treating us like human beings. Better to die like a man than to negotiate our humiliation. That's an interpretation, but one that I find kind of plausible.
I think the reality of terrorism can make it complicated because we have we've simplified it too much to be black and white, and so we, in our popular imagination, we think that all Palestinians are terrorists, which is not true, and that Israel never does anything that would be a terrorist, and the settlements in the West Bank violate the Geneva Conventions and international law.
Israeli settlements.
Israeli settlements clearly violate the Geneva Conventions and international law. And so there may be terrorists. There's probably terrorism on both sides, and we seem to forget that. And from a Christian perspective, we tend to think that all Palestinians or all Arabs are Muslim, and that's not true. And there's a long history of Christianity in Palestine. The Palestinians were Christian before the Europeans or the Americans were ever Christian. And as Christians, I think Scripture calls us to do good to all people, and especially those of the household of faith. And we have a significant responsibility to our Palestinian brothers and sisters in Christ that we forget when we just blanket all Arabs are Muslim and all Muslims are terrorists. Those are not true presuppositions.
Wow, and so you're going to be discussing all of these issues and trying to lay it out in civil dialogues. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. We don't go after small potatoes here.
No. But it's so easy to rely upon, you know, just the stereotypes and the talking points of our favorite people in the media, or, you know, in whatever media it is. But it's easy to fall back on that. And then you can constantly repeat that over and over again and feel strength and power from that perspective, even when you're encountering a different one. But what's different about this that'll bring people out of their sort of conventional stereotypes that we bring with us all the time?
I think the one piece is some of the material is obviously more pro-Palestinian than even perhaps the group organizing it would be, but it's giving voice to a voice that we don't often hear and trying to tell another narrative or another side of the narrative that we don't often hear. And I think that reality and some of the stories you hear when you witness what life is like on the ground for somebody hopefully will help cultivate empathy or break people out of their stereotypes.
We would hope, too, that the people who participate are going to be at least receptive to the Christian message, even if they are not Christians themselves. You don't get people to be good and compassionate necessarily by just telling how tough somebody else has it. But Christians understand that they have received a lot of goodwill from God, and they must acknowledge that they want to do good to others. And when they understand what is happening, especially in Israel and in what we call the Palestinian territory, there's a reasonable hope that it will prick the conscience. Some people say that apartheid in South Africa, which I as a kid thought was going to erupt in violence, some people thought There's no way that a peaceful resolution can come out of it. But it did. And like with the American Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s, it wasn't as bad as it might have been, in part, I believe, because a lot of people of goodwill understood God's love for us.
And the first event is coming up Tuesday, September 16th at 7 p.m. And where is it at?
Second Reformed Church in Pella, corner of Liberty and Broadway, in a room called the Gathering Space. If you get to the building, you'll find the space.
Dealing with facts to get to the truth isn't always easy, is it?
It sure isn't.
No, and I think that there's two levels about which we might measure success. One is if we can open people's perspective to a side of the story and facts that we don't often hear or choose to ignore. And the other is, even if people are not as open to that or they don't need to come and share my perspective, if we can model civil discussion and mutual respect, we would go a long way in our political culture. That in the center, we can have people of differing perspectives or partisan commitments who can listen respectfully to each other and come to say, I don't agree with what you think needs to be done, but I understand why you think it needs to be done, and I can respect that there's an intelligence behind what you propose, even if I'm not sure it's the best course of action. And we don't hardly ever have that in our political discussion. So I guess one is the issue itself, and the other is how do you model civil discussion and Christian civility.
People who have come to our discussions occasionally say at the end of a session, I know that the people at this table don't agree with each other, and I never imagined that we could treat each other with this kind of respect. We acknowledge that our side does not have all right and virtue. We show an awareness of the deficiencies in our own cause. That is disarming. And it works wonders.
Thanks to Professor Chad Ray and Pastor Ryan Faber. Thanks to Pastor Chad Ray and Pastor Ryan Faber for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.